I was visiting with my spiritual director this past week, and one of the things that we visited about is I told him I hadn't really felt the love of God a lot lately. And I think that's something we all long for. And there's various reasons why that can happen. Sometimes God kind of withdraws himself so that we'll yearn for him more. But sometimes it's because we've done something that has affected that relationship. We haven't remained in love with him. And in our gospel today, we hear that one of those reasons is if we don't keep his commandments, we're not going to feel his love or remain in his love. That's one of the reasons why that can happen. So how many of you want to be in love with God and feel his love? Right? All of you, right? You don't even have to raise your hands. Right? But how many of you know your Ten Commandments by heart? A few of you, right? So if we really want to be in love with God, then we got to know his commandments. And not just being able to recite them, right? But being able to know what they mean at their core. And one of the things we haven't probably heard a homily on in years is the Ten Commandments. And so today, guess what we're going to do? Who can tell me what the first commandment is? Who can tell me what the first commandment is? Jenna. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have any gods besides me. Correct. Now, that could be something as formal as, you know, you wouldn't change to becoming Muslim or some other religion or worship a golden calf. But what does it mean in the context of our day? Well, a god is often something that we give most importance to in our lives, right? So what is it that you give most importance to in your life? It's easy to say that our faith is what we give most importance to, but is that played out in our actions, right? For some of you kids, your Nintendo DS is your god. For some of us adults, our smartphones are our gods. For some of us families, our sports are our gods, right? It's what we spend our time on, what we spend our energy on, that's our God. And hopefully, that is only the Holy Trinity. What's the second commandment? Who can tell me what the second commandment is? Very good. She says, you shall not curse, you know, which is a good modern translation of it, right? Because back in the day, you shall not use the Lord God's name in vain. To use something in vain means it has no purpose, right? It has no end result. And so to even say the words like Jesus Christ without the intention of actually praising him, it has no end. It has no purpose. It is void of meaning, right? And this also includes other curse words that we frequently tend to use. Now, of course, there's different levels here. What is one of the most frequent expressions that our teenagers like to say? Oh my God, right? Or OMG, right? Text it. Well, that's bad. We should respect the name, even the generic name of God, more than that. But obviously, if we cuss somebody out and say Jesus Christ or some other worse things that I shouldn't even say in church, then that's even worse. But we have to respect the name of the Lord and watch our language. What's the third commandment? Keep holy the Sabbath. How do we do that? Go to Mass, pray, what else? Spend time with your family, but we've forgotten in our society a very key part of this. And the scriptures actually say, do no sort of work. Do no sort of work. Now, reason tells us there are certain jobs that need to be done. Do we need first responders on Sunday? Yeah. Do we need things for the public good? Yes. But there are so many things in our society, in a very commercial-driven society, that we don't need on Sunday. We don't need the mall to be open on Sunday, do we? We don't need to go shopping for our enjoyment on Sunday, do we? And so keeping holy the Sabbath is more than just coming to church and more than just spending time with our family, but it's giving a day that is reserved for God and recreation and His purposes. What's the fourth commandment? Obey your father and mother. Is that exactly what the scripture says? There's another word that it uses, and I bet you know this, but you may have forgotten. Honor your father and mother. And this is the key. We think of it as obeying, and that's true, right? Should you obey your father and mother? And you do all the time, right? Yes, of course. But it actually says honor your father and mother. Now, when I think of honor, I was watching, in fact, just last night, I was as I was working on a little slideshow for Mother's Day for my mom, I had Lord of the Rings on in the background, right? And there's these very noble characters with big swords and lots of armor and everything. And when I think of honor, I think of like bowing down before a king with my sword and bowing my head and saying, "My lord, what do you wish me to do for you?" Right? Now, parents, is that what your kids do for you? No. But kids, that's exactly why this says honor your father and mother. Not just obey them, like go clean your room and you're like, do I have to? And then you finally do it. Well, did you obey? Not really. Not at the core of what obedience really means. Because it means honoring your father and mother. What's the fifth commandment? Thou shalt not kill, right? Now, how many of you have committed murder? Don't raise your hands or we got a problem, right? But you know, I think in our society we've seen lately how words can really kill. You know, all the stuff that people put on Facebook, the bullying. We've even seen students and even adults who end their life because of the hurtful words that they have received. Guys, we got to be more careful about our speech. You know, in our country, we are given the gift of free speech, right? But when we are given a freedom, it comes with a responsibility. When you're given a freedom, it comes with a responsibility. In fact, what do you do as parents often for your kids? You give them a freedom, and if they are not responsible with it, what do? You take it away, right? You take away the freedom until they can learn the responsibility that goes with it. And we have to do the same with our words. You are a steward of your mouth. What's the sixth commandment? That's a good way of putting it. I like that. You shall honor your husband or wife. Yes, you shall not commit adultery, is what the scriptures say. And that's kind of an obvious one for us because we still at least live in a society where, you know, if you run out with somebody else's spouse, it's frowned upon. But guys, there's a lot of other ways in which we often violate that. We have violated in our minds and our thoughts. We have violated online. We even can violate it using our smartphones. There's a lot of ways that we don't honor our husband or wife, where we really give them everything of ourselves and nothing to anybody else. It's interesting that St. Paul, when he talks about purity, especially sexual purity, he says, have no kind of impurity in your life at all. And we become a people satisfied, even as Christians, with it's okay to have a little tinge of it. Maybe the jokes at work or the pictures that gets passed around on the phones. No ounce of impurity in our lives. What's the seventh commandment? Who can tell me the seventh commandment? You shall not steal, right? And if I, you know, we just, it's funny, Father Ben and I just got subpoenaed this past week because of our little adventure this past December with the copper thieves. Well, that's an obvious, you know, stealing, right? You take something that's not yours. But in the context of stewardship, we can take a much deeper look at what this means. Who owns everything in the world? God? Do you really believe that? Because that is the core of what stewardship is that God has given us everything we have. And so who owns it? And who gets to decide what to do with it? And when we decide to do something else with it, what are we doing? Stealing. Stealing. It's God's. He owns it. When we're not good stewards of it, we are stealing. The eighth commandment. Very good. You shall not lie. Obviously, if we did that under oath or if we did that in a serious situation, it's very blatant. But a lot of times we also succumb to the little white lies, don't we? Where we exaggerate things or we don't really want to tell the truth. Love, which is talked about in our scriptures today, is always based on truth. And honestly, kids, I see, as I'm seeing you guys grow up, as I'm seeing your parents and everything, your quality of person, your truthfulness starts when you're a kid. And if you can learn to stop lying to your parents, even in the little ways, you become a much, much better adult. You become a truthful person. What's the ninth commandment? Close. Yeah. I always mix those two up, you know, because they're the same thing, but they're two different objects, right? So the first one is you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And I guess I was, you know, again, this matches up real well with the sixth commandment, right? And not committing adultery. But also not that lust that comes in our hearts. And that lust can come through, you know, things like pornography or even reading books, things like that. But it's interesting to me that it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Now, why doesn't it say you shall not covet your neighbor's husband? Is that okay for you ladies to do? Well, no, and that'd be a perfectly good application, right? Because in the cultural circumstances, you had a very much patriarchal society. You could say, you shall not covet your neighbor's spouse. But I do think there's something to it when it says you shall not covet your neighbor's husband, or excuse me, wife. Because men, God has given us charge to be leaders. First in your home. With your spouse. Get your spouse to heaven. Number two, with your children. Get your children to heaven. And then branching outward from there. Are you leaders of purity in your church community? At your work? At your work? Are you the guy who calls out your coworkers when they're passing around the dirty pictures or the dirty jokes? That's what you need to be. Not in a way that condemns them, but to say, you know what? I respect women. I think God created women to be beautiful reflections of Himself. Would you please stop denigrating them? It's a beautiful way that you can preach the gospel. What's the very last commandment? You shall not covet your neighbor's goods, right? And we live in a culture that's very materialistic, right? So coveting your neighbor's goods is a real thing. And it's not just our neighbor. Like if I look across the street and I see this guy's got a, you know, nice new Lamborghini, and I keep dreaming about how much I'd love to have that to the point where maybe I go over and steal it, I've definitely coveted my neighbor's goods, right? But how many of us, I know I used to do this. I'd get the Sunday paper, and I'd pull out the Best Buy ad, and I'd just flip through and kind of drool, you know, at these cool things and all the new technologies and everything. And while that may not be the most serious offense against the Lord, am I coveting somebody's material goods? Well, yeah, in my heart I am. And so I had to stop that because it's just not healthy. It's not helping me get to God. It's helping me just focus on material things. Your kids in school, I hear them sometimes talk about their video games more than they talk about Jesus. What does that say about our materialism? Do you want to remain in love with God? If you do, then one of the first things we need to check in our lives is following His commandments. And not just being able to recite them. Not just being able to say, yeah, I haven't killed anybody today. But getting to the core of the meaning behind the commandments. What God meant when He gave us those commandments. To not be attached to the things of this world. But to be attached to Him. Love one another as I have loved you.